Hare Krishna. So we're on chapter 17. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapnitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vajra Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vrajanath, I understand that Sadhana Sangha is the only Sukriti that gives rise to bhakti. One has to listen to Harikatha from the mouth of sadhus, and thereafter one attains bhakti. Is this the proper sequence to progress in bhakti? Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutave Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapatantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. What a wonderful festival we had for Gaura Purnima. The Bhakti Center is doing really nicely. We'll get into the text here. As you remember, we've been following Vrajanath, a former logician who has come to Krishna consciousness. And therefore, he's quite adept at asking penetrating questions. And his guru, Babaji Maharaj, is very expert and satisfactorily answering them. And right now, it's natural. He's concerned with Jiva Tattva, which refers to the living entity and how he becomes bound in the world. And right now he's asking how the Jiva can be freed from Maya. And Babaji Maharaj, he's answering his questions with this, I don't know if Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote it, but in the novel, it's something that existed from the time of Sri Chaitanya, something called Dashamula. And what Dashamula is, it's 10 verses that comprehensively cover broad categories of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness comprehensively. So the Babaji answers, and he gives the seventh Dasamula, which explains that the living entity is wandering until He sees a Vaishnava. And from that, from seeing truth exemplified, one gets a ruchi for following the life of one of truth called a Vaishnava, which is chanting the holy name. And from chanting that holy name, of course, it's chanting purely, which means it's chanting from a platform of proper understanding and a life of pure devotional service. From that, one's swarup, one's spiritual form, spiritual identity manifests. And Vrajanath, of course, I mentioned this before, the teacher says it, but he also wants to have Vedic evidence to solidify his faith, and Babaji Maharaj gives it, and it leads to the question of what is liberation. And Babaji explains that liberation is not just getting out of this world, but it's being situated somewhere. And that situation is Muktiyadvayatarupena Surupena Vivasita. It's giving up false identity and accepting true identity. And then Vrajanath asks what the symptoms are, and those are described. And then he wants to know, can you get Hari Bhakti? Can you get this perfection of consciousness? Our conception of the perfection of consciousness is being overwhelmed with love. And he wants to know if you can get this by pious activities. And then Babaji Maharaj quotes a famous verse from the 11th canto, that it's not by anything else, only by the association of devotees. And this is the key to bhakti. It all happens when you associate with devotees. We're talking about the story of Lord Chaitanya, which is God trying to become his own devotee. And how does that happen? It happens at every stage of Chaitanya's life by association. First with his guru, Ishwar Puri, and then with Ramananda Roy. And then with Ramananda Roy and Srupa Damodar and the Gambira. Association is everything. Because bhakti is a transference of devotional energy that instills within one a desire to serve and to love Krishna in a particular way. And you only can get that from a devotee, because it's in a devotee's heart. That's why even when God came as Chaitanya, he didn't have devotion until he surrendered to his guru and made that connection. So then the question is, well, how do you get the association of Shuddha Bhaktas, of pure devotees? And what kind of Sukriti is that? And he explains that that type of Sukriti, it's only Bhakti Prada Sukriti. It's only the Sukriti that gives bhakti as an end result. Such as associating with pure devotees and places, etc. And then he wants to know, what about people if they come in distress to Krishna consciousness? And they're tormented by material problems and take shelter of Shri's feet. In other words, you know, by his renunciation and wisdom, he sees that the world is suffering. He comes to bhakti. He said, these things in alone, the desire for renunciation doesn't bring you to bhakti. It can bring you to sadhu sangha. And sadhu sangha will actually give you bhakti. And then he says, well, if karma and jnan, renunciation and wisdom are secondary ways of achieving bhakti, then why can't we also call them activities, bhakti pradasya kriti, who the end is bhakti? And he said, because they're very entangling and they generally lead to jnan, they generally don't lead to bhakti. And now we come to our question today. Is it only sadhu sangha that gives rise to bhakti? And Babaji explains, I will explain the proper way of progressing in bhakti. Listen attentively. Only by good fortune does the jiva, who is wandering throughout the universe, achieve the sukriti that gives rise to bhakti. One of the many limbs of pure bhakti may touch a jiva's life. For example, he may fast on Ekadasi or touch or visit the holy places of Bhagavan's pastime or serve a guest who happens to be a Shuddha Bhakta or have the chance to hear Hari Katha or Hari Nam from the lotus mouth of a Kinchana Bhakta. If someone desires material benefits or impersonal liberation from such activities, the resultant sukriti does not lead to devotional service. So you can perform a kadasi or even, you know, you can do these activities with motive and you'll achieve the result of that motive, which could be liberation. But if an innocent person performs these activities, knowingly or out of habit, without desiring material sense gratification and personal liberation, these activities lead to the accumulation of bhakti, pradasa, fritti. So he's saying if you perform these activities, but without a specific objective, then they're going to lead to the sukriti that gives you bhakti. And after accumulating such sukriti for many births, it becomes concentrated enough to give faith in pure bhakti. And when faith in bhakti is undivided, one develops a desire to associate with Shuddha Bhaktas. So it says, by so many lifetimes, just think of our sojourn, by so many lifetimes of maybe performing a kadasi or meeting a devotee or having, you know, all this is just building up, until one day you're qualified to walk out of the train station in Union Square and see the devotees. I always like to go there. I went there today. And you see a person do this stares and then, you know, by that sukriti, by walking by, hearing the holy name, giving a donation in the box to the devotees, by that, it will build up, and at a particular time, it builds up to the stage of pure devotional service. In other words, coming to the point that I want to serve Krishna, not to get any material benefit. I don't go to the deities and put a bag of rice on the altar so that I get my daughter married or some desire like that. You actually start doing things to please. So sukriti builds up. So people who come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said no one can come to Krishna consciousness without some previous connection to it. Right? And he said, then if one, even if one has no connection by the mercy of the spiritual master. But the general principle is this is not a one life thing. But this has gone on for many, many, many lifetimes. And so we shouldn't be discouraged sometimes if people don't immediately join or take the process. They may not yet have the sukriti, but I see that as prophesied by the mercy of pure devotee, in this life, by continually giving them opportunities, they come forward. I see that. Our preaching here is very, very broad. The net is very, very wide. And we see what happens. We see that gradually, people are coming. They're coming to kirtan. They're appreciating devotees. And then in one lifetime, that sukriti becomes concentrated, and then they develop a desire to associate with pure devotees. By association, one gradually becomes engaged in performing sadhana and bhajan, and this leads to the removal of arthas in proportion to the purity of chanting. Wow, that's a heavy statement. I'm going to be real serious in my chanting tomorrow. In proportion to the purity of the chanting, am I going to be calling out to God? Am I going to be concentrated to remove those anarthas? And when anarthas are removed, the previous faith is purified further, becomes nishta. So things are becoming concentrated. First, they come concentrated to the point where you have faith in pure bhakti, where you have faith that worshiping the deity and chanting Hare Krishna is not to get anything for oneself, but to actually develop love for God. And then you'll begin to associate. So it's very nice when you're out here in New York sharing Krishna consciousness and so many people are coming and seeing them, how they come forward in that gradual process, how they develop more and more bhakti prada sukriti, the bhakti, the sukriti that ends in devotion, and how gradually then they desire to associate with bhaktis, and gradually they become engaged in performing sadhana, and then the process. And in other words, what happens is the faith is that this is good, this is so good, and then it increases, and it's so good that I give up my anarthas, and it's so good I become fixed, and firm faith is purified to become spiritual taste. And by the wonderful effect of bhakti, the ruchi is strengthened and takes the form of asakti, transcendental attachment. It's the ruchi means you have taste, and you always, no matter if you kind of wander, you'll pull yourself back. But in asakti, the taste becomes so thick, so consuming, that it's addictive. It immediately, it automatically comes back. And I sometimes describe bhakti as a voice within the heart, that I want Krishna. And we look in our heart and we see so many voices and with so many desires and so many, you know, want revenge, or I want this, or liberation, or I want peace, or I want, but it becomes, I want service, I want to serve Krishna, I want to be with Krishna, I want to love Krishna, I want to have a relationship with Krishna. And it becomes so strong that it attracts Krishna's mercy, and then transcendental attachment matures into Ratiya Bhava. And then Ratiya Bhava, which joins with the ingredients of Sai Bhav. So your attachment then becomes mixed with a sense of your relationship with Krishna. Love means in a relationship. And at Bhava, that becomes revealed. It becomes so certain. You see it. I love Krishna in a particular way. And when you love in relationship, it becomes stronger. And then gradually it thickens. Bhava is Prem Ankur. Bhava is the sprout of Prem. It's like the sun rays compared to the sun. Prem is thick. It's like the sun rays, the sun. And Bhava is like the sun rays. It's concentrated. And it becomes the nectarian mellows of Prem. This is the step-by-step progression in the development of Krishna Prem. The principal idea is that when people with sufficient sukriti have darshan of Shuddha Bhaktis, they develop an inclination to proceed on the path of bhakti. We are giving people sukriti. They're just getting sukriti, and it's building up. And if they keep on getting that, and you don't create the obstacles to people getting that, they'll develop an inclination to proceed on the path of bhakti. One associates with a Shuddha Bhakta by chance, and this leads to initial Shraddha, where he gets the association of bhaktas a second time. So it all begins by somehow or other meeting a devotee. It'll lead to that. You accumulate the bhakti prada sukriti. It'll culminate in somehow or other. You'll get darshan of a devotee, and then you'll have inclination to proceed on the path of bhakti, and you'll get shraddha, and then you get the association of the bhakti the second time. The result of the first association is Shraddha, which can also be termed Surrender, Sharanagati. The initial Sadhu Sangha is brought about by contact with holy places, auspicious times and paraphernalia, the recipients of Sri Hari's grace, of all which are beloved by him. These lead to faith in his shelter. The symptoms of development of such faith are described in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksayishyami ma sichaha. The principal idea is that when, So first is initial Shraddha. Let me try to figure this out. So you first get faith, you get darshan, and then you develop inclination to proceed on the path of bhakti. And from that inclination, that will lead to the further association of devotees. So that first Shraddha, Sharanagati, that's brought about by contact with devotional objects and acts, and that leads to a desire to surrender. And here the word sarvadham imply worldly duties. Smartha dharma, astanga yoga, sankhya, jnana, renunciation. The jiva can never achieve his ultimate goal by practicing all these dhammas, which is why the instruction here is to give them up. Because these things will not lead to prema bhakti. The Krishna says, sarva dharma prityaja, you give up all these things. Krishna says, my form of pure, condensed Satchidananda, appearing as Vraja Vilas, the performer of wonderful pastimes, is the only shelter of the jiva. So the only shelter of jiva is to have the pure association of Krishna and Vrindavan. And when one understands this, he gives up all desires for bhakti, material enjoyment, and mukti, and personal liberation. With undivided attention, take shelter me. This is known as pravritti rupa shraddha, the exclusive tendency to engage in Krishna's service. When such faith dawns in the jiva's heart, with tears in his eyes, he resolves to become a follower of a Vaishnav sadhu. The Vaishnav whom he takes shelter at that point is the guru. So wow, the faith comes and comes and comes, and then the desire, he has the desire to follow a Vaishnav sadhu. And at that time, the one who he deems worthy to give him shelter becomes his guru. Vrajanath, how many types of anarthas does the jiva have? Babaji, there are four types of anarthas. Swarup, Brahma, being an illusion about one's spiritual identity. Asat Krishna, thirsty for temporary material enjoyment. Aparada, offenses. And Vidaya, Durbalya, weakness of heart. So first, there's the anartha of identity. You identify, you have a false identity. There's an anartha of being thirsty for material things. There's an anartha of aparad, offense. And there's an anartha of weakness of heart. You don't only have thirst for temporary things, but you just have no determination. The jiva's first anartha, namely Swarup Brahma, illusion about spiritual identity, is forgetting the understanding that I, the pure spiritual spark or servant of Krishna, and being carried away, far away from his original spiritual position. When the jiva considers that he and his dead material possessions are my and mine, he develops three types of asat Krishna. Desire to enjoy temporary material pleasures. The desire for a son, for wealth, and celestial pleasures. Well, that's interesting. Let's just go over that for a second. Just to repeat it. Four types of anarthas. But when you have this first anartha, being an illusion about your spiritual identity, you forget that I am the pure servant of Krishna. And then you identify with the body. You develop three types of asat Krishna, desires to enjoy the world, is for increasing your family and your legacy and for your wealth and to heavenly pleasures. And then there are 10 types of aparads. That's the third type of anartha. I'm going to repeat them again. Swarup Brahma, illusion about one's identity. And that leads to three types of asat Krishna, your desire for family or legacy to carry on your name in the world, especially a son, and you want wealth, and you want sensual pleasures. Then there are 10 types of offenses. He said, I'll discuss that later. And the fourth one, the jiva is grief-stricken because of hridaya dulabha, weakness of heart. And then even though he has these desires, he has weakness of heart. He just can't have discipline and character and control. These four types of anarthas are inherent in the jiva who has become caught by ignorance, and they are removed gradually by cultivating Krishna consciousness and the association of Sudha Bhakta. That's the only way to get rid of anarthas, is by the association of pure devotees. The fourfold path of yoga consists of withdrawal from sense objects. So let's see, yoga consists of pratyahara, withdrawal from sense objects, self-control, yama, following various rules and regulations, niyam, and renunciation. So pratyahara, yama, niyam, vairagya. Vairagya, withdrawing the energy from the senses. This process is not the proper means to free oneself from material anxiety, for it is difficult to attain perfection. It is always a risk of falling down. The only way to become free from all anxiety is to cultivate pure Krishna consciousness and the association of Shuddha Bhaktas. This is the only way. It's very, you know, it's kind of a high thing, but it's also accessible. We have to surrender to Krishna and use all our energy in service, not in false ego. It can come from, our needs can be met, but from the platform of the soul, because we're engaged in service, and therefore we take care of our needs, but our focus is on service. And that's the only way, really, to actually, as it said here, to be free from anxiety. It's the only way. Otherwise, we're always on the mental plane, always worried about our losses and our gains, etc. But the consciousness of giving oneself to Krishna is so difficult, because we're not focused on ourselves. So we don't have the anxiety of losing or gaining things for ourselves. Thus the jiva is free from Maya's stranglehold, and his constitutional position is revealed to the extent that anarthas had been removed from the heart. Bhajana, can people with no trace of anartha be termed liberated people? Please consider the following shloka. So if you have no trace of anartha, are you liberated? Babaji says, please consider the following shloka from 6.14.3.5. O Lord, there are many jivas in this material world as there are grains of sand. Only a few of these are human beings, amongst whom only a few direct their efforts in search of a higher goal. Of those who are endeavoring for a higher goal, only a few rare individuals seek liberation from this world. And out of thousands of such people, hardly one is able to achieve siddha, yogic perfection, or mukti. Among millions of perfected yogis and liberated souls, it is difficult find a single peaceful great soul who is dedicated fully to the save of Narayan. Therefore, Narayan bhaktas are very rare. A person freed from all anarthas is known as a Shuddha Bhakta. That's the answer. Shuddha bhaktas are very rare. Indeed, among millions of muktas, one can hardly find a single bhakta of Sri Krishna. Therefore, no association in this world is more rare than the association of Krishna bhaktas. Bhajanat, does the word Vaishnav imply a bhakta who has renounced family life? Bhavati, a Shuddha bhakta is a Vaishnava, whether he is grihastha or sannyas, a Brahmin or chandala, rich or poor. A devotee is a Krishna Bhakti to the degree he has Shuddha Krishna Bhakti. So you're pure devotee to the degree that you have pure devotion. It doesn't matter what social or economic status you're in. But you're not. You have already said that there are five types of jiva in Maya's stronghold. You also said that the bhakti is performing sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti are still under Maya's control. At what stage of bhakti is Maya Mukti liberated? For Maya, very interesting answer. One is free from the clutches of Maya from the beginning of the devotional service. If you surrender to Guru fully, surrender to Guru, then Krishna accepts you and you're liberated. But Vastu Gati Mukti, or complete liberation from the two material bodies, gross and subtle, is only obtained when one reaches the stage of maturity and sadhana. Before this, a person is liberated to the extent that he is Sarup Gata, aware of his constitutional position. The jiva achieves Vastu Gata, complete freedom from Maya, only when he's completely disassociated from the gross and subtle body. So there's Sarup City and there's Vastu City. So Sarup City means you have an understanding of your position with Krishna. And Vastu City is not just an understanding. You are situated in it. You realize it. And you no longer identify with the body at all. The stage of bhava bhakti dawns in the jiva's heart as a result of practicing sadhana bhakti. When the jiva is firmly established in bhava bhakti, he gives up his gross and subtle bodies and becomes established in his pure spiritual body, chitsriya. Consequently, the jiva is not fully free from Maya's control, even up to the beginning stage of bhava bhakti, because a trace of the conditioning of Maya always remains as long as the jiva is performing sadhana bhakti. The authorities in our line have carefully considered sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti and have concluded bhaktis practicing both these stages among the five stages of conditioned soul. The materialist and the impersonal are definitely included among the five categories of conditioned souls. The only path of deliverance from the clutches of Maya is bhakti to Srihari. The jiva has been put under Maya's control because he is offensive to Bhagavan, and the root of all offense is forgetting that I am Krishna's servant. The root of all offense is forgetting that I am Krishna's servant. The offenses can only be eradicated if one has Krishna's mercy. Only then can he be free from Maya's control. The impersonalists believe that one can gain liberation from Maya by cultivating knowledge, but this belief has no basis. There is no possibility of becoming free from Maya without his mercy. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yenye ravindaksha vamuktamaniyas svayastavavada vashuda bhudaya aruya katrena parampadham Parampadam tata patantyadu nadvita yushmaranga. O lotus-eyed Lord, those who proudly think that they are liberated but do not render devotional service unto you certainly have impure intelligence. Although they perform severe austerities and penances and rise up to the spiritual position of impersonal realization of Brahman, they fall down again because they have no respect for devotional service to your lotus feet. So basically what he's saying is that really, unless you realize who you are, your liberation can't stay because it's a mental condition and mental conditions change. So unless you become situated in a permanent situation, nasate vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate, there's no liberation. And then he quotes again from another verse. O Madhav, your dear most bhaktas who have true love for your lotus feet, a are not like those proud gyanis, for they never fall down from the path of devotional service. Since you protect them, they move about fearlessly, stepping on the very heads of those who obstruct their path so that no obstacles can check their progress. So you need mercy to actually ultimately become liberated. And therefore, every other process, no process is independent of bhakti. Because even to achieve perfection in jnana, you have to perform worship. Bhakti is independent of everything. I'm going to have to go just because the nature of the night. One or two people say hello. I don't have time for questions today. Anybody like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Wow, you are the most regular. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else say hello?
Thank you.
Anybody else say hello? Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Gaudam Bhaktada.
Wow, our stalwarts. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go now. Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.